Hey, I'm Dieter. This is Jake. Dieter and Hutch live in Santa Clara, California, after one of the worst football games you'll ever have to watch. That was not football at its highest level. My goodness. 49ers lose. So the Dieter curse very much still in effect.
Yep.
That was I was in on the Niners in this game. I specifically said I trust Brock Purdy over Trevor Lawrence. Nothing to trust with Trevor Lawrence there, but my God, Brock Purdy, we have to start right there on studs and duds. Like that was altogether awful.
I mean, I was watching him warming up, and it's not to say that, like, you know, you can glean that much from warm-ups, but he certainly wasn't moving around full speed and was like sort of testing it carefully the way he jogged. So it's kind of curious to see. And it just like everything was like a little high. He wasn't ripping a few throws that I thought were out there. There were a couple times where I saw like Jennings and Pearsall break open on the same play and he didn't rip it.
Yeah.
And I was like, I just, it doesn't look like he feels comfortable out there. And listen, like, I think.
Understandably, to be fair. Like, he couldn't step into his throws. He was tippy-tapping.
I think some of it is probably overblown a little bit with, like, the tips. But at the same time, both of those looked like they were going to be bad throws, kind of regardless
tips. The windows on what looked open, it's like, oh, he's really – And I the tip aspect, I mean, the second interception, like, of course. Like, it was tipped. I'm not going to even – we're not going to apologize for Brock. He had a bad game.
No, he was bad.
But it wasn't all him, right?
I mean, the amount of drops in this game, and on both sides of the ball, by the way, like Fred Warner dropped like two interceptions,
and Upton Stout had an interception brought back by a phantom PI call.
Had one that
that was a bad call.
That was a bad call. Like he didn't do anything. That was like his first like great play.
He had a couple of nice reps and a couple of just god awful. The Upton Stout experience.
There's no like in between with him. It's a little like Kalia Davis, where you're like, oh, that was awesome, and then oh, he got moved about 8 yards out of the play. I think I'll start kind of there in terms of the drops. I'll say Kendrick Bourne, dud. What are we doing, man? That one on the crosser was like a huge play. Also, set up a punt return touchdown the very next play, which, I mean, there's a million game-losing plays, but that was a quite literal.
There it is. Third quarter, you're now down 26, I think, was it?
Yeah,
26,
which, by the way, there are about three, like, illegal blocks in the back on that punt return.
You have a special teams that's filled with guys that were handpicked.
Special teams, by the way,
awful.
Sucks ass.
Awful. They almost got burned for a touchdown on the kickoff, which was my specific prediction.
Yeah.
I'm going to take the win on the punt return. By the way, Thomas Moore said 20 miles per hour, more than 20 miles per hour on that, which is now one more play than Christian McCaffrey has.
I'm trying to find Moore said's quote. Dieter mentioned that to him in the locker room. He goes, that's not good.
That's not good.
Something bad had to have happened for me to reach 20 miles per hour.
It's nice talking to people who are older than you in the locker room. listen, if you're looking for like a deeper cut on what went wrong in this game, Kendrick Bourne had one catch on four targets.
Not great.
No, not good. I don't know how you go 6 for 11 throwing it to Christian McCaffrey, but that's what the Niners did today.
He had some drops and also averaged 2.9 yards per carry. I think somebody asked me, is it McCaffrey or is it the line? I can't blame McCaffrey for any of this. And there's nowhere to go. Like, and I will say, Brian Robinson on his touches had some good
nice
runs.
Punch.
Yeah, and it looked like they knew, like, McCaffrey's getting pummeled. We're not going anywhere. Let's get the bigger guy in there. And he did it. He did a solid job. I won't call him a stud.
No.
For 5 for 21. But it was like, it was not the worst I've seen of Brian Robinson.
I'll give you a stud. Jake Tonjes was a stud.
Oh, yeah. He's one of my studs, too. One of the few studs possible.
Listen, we're going to have 100% crossover on studs. Tonjes, they started him over Farrell. He was clearly the preferred tight end to Farrell. He gets injured with some sort of a shoulder stinger oblique scenario.
They're like, get back out there, kid.
Straight to the locker room, straight into the tent that we don't talk about under the building. Get something up in there, and they are right back. The second Farrell fumbled that thing, which, by the way, another just catastrophic play.
He's been a dud every game so far, almost every game.
I'm calling it now, Jake. We're in the Saubert zone.
It's like, and listen, I'm trying to give him a little bit of the benefit of the doubt, but he's just like making bad plays every game that like truly explicitly cost.
If we're talking about why the Niners can't run the ball, I guess it's a bad day for my take that it's actually Saubert 2.0, Luke Farrell's fault, because when you have these tight fronts and then they spread out the line and they bring everybody down,
right,
it just puts the onus on one dude typically at the end of the line. If they make their block, it's gone. But he wasn't making those blocks ever. Like, ever. The dude spent a lot of time looking into the backfield because he gets spun around right off the snap. And it's like they signed you to be a blocking tight end.
The really worrying thing is that every single run you watch, and we talked about like displacement. I think when we were evaluating, especially offensive linemen in the draft, we're talking about like what creates explosive plays. It's displacement. It's like, and Connor Colby, like last week and a couple weeks, has gotten second level, has sealed somebody off, displace them, and then there's a chunk. They just haven't had anyone moving people around. And Trent, even in the run game, I know he had a rough game in the pass game today. I think some of that was like on the one, like Brock didn't step up. I think there were two that Josh Hines-Allen beat him on like back-to-back plays. He's also on an island, which is not to excuse it. I don't think he had a good
day. He's lived his entire life on that island. He should know his way around that island.
Correct. It's
and this is a lesser version of Trent Williams, which still makes him one of the better tacklers in the NFL.
The knee injury start of the season is just that great. Him and Pooney nursing knee injuries, seemingly the whole team just with like PCL injuries, right? Like, I don't know what we're doing. Like,
the Pooney thing is a real problem. He was awful today.
Yeah.
And Brendel is going to get a fair amount of stick, and he deserves a fair amount of stick for what happened on the strip sack, because it was his man and he didn't hold his block long enough. We need a better term than that, but he didn't block his guy long enough. Shit, he was holding him, so it doesn't matter. Like, he didn't hold on the hold long enough to make something up the middle. So Eric Armstead gets his big long arm out, does the first thing he did all day, and gets a strip sack.
Did you, in that moment, going into that drive, think they were going to pull it off?
Yes.
I kind of did, too. And it's funny, because I felt like the second I walked in the stadium, which, by the way, also known as first game of the year I've been to, maybe not great. Maybe me, not great for the 49ers.
I doubt that. I doubt that has anything to do with it.
It felt like they could pull it off. I was like, are these – I call them the dumpster diving after win. They just dumpster dive every single game and try and get a win like the 22 Minnesota Vikings.
What a pull. 22 Minnesota Vikings.
The 22 Minnesota Vikings, by the way, went 13-4 with a negative 3-point differential on the season. And then immediately lost to the New York football Giants, I believe.
Oh, yeah. They lost to Daniel Jones in the playoffs.
The New Jersey Giants in the first round.
Can we get that turf fixed?
That's what it felt like they were going after, and it's just...
I think it's actually more simple than that. I think that they're just a normal NFL team. And, of course, the standards that come with being the San Francisco 49ers, particularly the 49ers amid the run of success that they've had since 2019.
Yeah, I could buy that.
Like, that doesn't jive. But they are, as Steve Kerr likes to talk about in the post-KD Warriors, like, they're in the real NBA now. Like, this is how it is.
It's true.
And they are a part of, like, 14 teams in the league that just are like, ugh.
This is the first game you said they were going to win. You've been wrong 4 out of 4 times.
Right, and it's not as if I picked some blowout or anything. I mean, it was
like, to be fair, I did get the Jags score right. I said 26.
I mean, we were – I don't think that we got – I mean, I got our some stuff patently wrong.
Our overall prediction was like it could go either way, and it was going to be chaotic and like relatively high scoring.
If we're getting judged strictly on the merit of our final predictions, we're cooked. And all sports media is cooked for what it's worth.
No one's ever been right.
Now, I will say – if we're going off of the merit of the analysis that we provided, having watched the tape and talked to the players going into the game, I thought that we had a pretty good read on this one. I think it played out pretty similar.
Yep.
Now, if we had to then extrapolate into our own thoughts, we had to share some opinion on it, like, oh, well, this is the baseline facts of the case. Here's what I think happens. Well, then I got it like pretty much all wrong.
Yeah.
Except for the Jags offense just cooking them. They cooked them all game.
Let me go to another dud. Yeah. Jason Pinnock. What was that, dude? What was that on the ETN touchdown?
He was watching the Dublin game this morning, saw a couple of Irish dances, and when he had a chance to make a tackle, he said, what if I do a little jig? It was the culmination of 4 weeks of susceptibility manifesting into one singular play.
It's something where it's like, okay, in the short term, you should be pretty pessimistic, because this Rams game on Thursday, they could get bludgeoned.
Who, buddy?
It's going to be really hard for them to win that, especially with Pearsall
I'm not feeling positive about Richie going in that one.
I think honestly the responsible thing to do is to pull him back. And he, I honestly watched him. I was watching him on the sidelines. He kept trying to test it, and he tested it for like honestly too long, and then went out for a snap and said it didn't feel right. Like,
okay,
why? I know, but like, I don't know if that should be on him to decide that. It felt like they should have just shut it down after working.
It's not an overt injury.
Right.
It's probably like a bad.
He came in with the knee injury and then like landed hard.
Lands hard on it. That's going to just jumble it all up. It's going to feel like crap. Like,
by the way, almost caught that ball.
Oh, he was sick.
He was a stud.
Clearly. Absolute stud.
And it's indicative. And part of the reason to be pessimistic in the short term is like, I don't think he's going to play on Thursday. That's just my gut feeling. He could. I think it's smarter to hold him out and say, give him 2 full weeks to get back to strength. Because he's like the only separator.
Yeah.
And you could see what happened. I mean, they still moved the ball without him, but like it wasn't dynamic and they struggled until the end.
He is absolutely their only separator. You add into the fact that this is not the kind of offense that can be a sum of its parts, right? They're not good enough. Yep. They don't have enough quality players to where they can go full Madden and just mix and match. Like, this is a situation where you have to have your dudes. You have a stars and scrubs roster. You need to have your stars. And the differentiation for teams that are stars and scrubs is one, injuries, which we know the Niners are never going to be on the right end of that because apparently the football gods have cursed them. But on the flip side of that, it's also about, okay, which one of the few players on your roster that feel like neither star nor scrub can push up into that star level?
Right.
And which one of them goes down into the dud level? Last year, it's so many things. It's the ultimate team game. There's 17 games, all this stuff. But, like, they had a player in Devondre Campbell who was, like, not a star, not a scrub when we started the season. Now, I was leaning towards scrub.
Yeah.
But he had been an all-pro in the not-too-distant past. He's going and playing next to Fred Warner. You cannot make that determination assuredly going into the season.
Yeah.
And he decided, no, I want to be a scrub. That's what I am now. And now you are one step, you're one link weaker on the chain. Ricky Pearsall is one guy who has elevated to star level. You're not getting star play from a lot of your star players. Purdy, McCaffrey right now did not give you star play today. And again, I'm not putting it on him.
Yep.
But he's not making it better either.
Yeah.
He's not transcending. And that's what stars are supposed to do. They're supposed to take a bad situation and make you feel
like
about
you could see it wear on him today. Just the amount of like 2 yard, 3 yard, 1 yard, where you're just like, he's like, guys, I don't have it. And they stayed him a couple times with a couple of those Robinson runs, but like, yikes.
It's a tough scene. It's a tough scene right now. I would like to note, Jake, just for everybody, they had multiple opportunities to win this football game.
So many opportunities. I mean, the Jags are an unserious team.
They're not a good operation.
No.
Trevor Lawrence was still spraying that thing.
Spraying the thing Liam all
Cohen
over the place.
Got real tight.
Yeah, really just yelling at Robert Saleh at the end, like after he's like 5 yards away from
Saleh. He had
Saleh.
His mind on the prize. You know, he really had his focus in the right place.
Yeah. Brian Thomas Jr. and Lawrence not being on the same page. Brian Thomas Jr. having like a bounce back game and then injuring his wrist, but
he's almost able to hold his hand.
Brenton Strange, really good.
Except for the couple drops.
Right.
Like, you know,
Hunter started getting
I'll tell you who was good. ETN was really good. He showed more burst in this game than I saw in any of the tape combined.
Yeah, and it's tough because, like, I would also like to identify, like, as a dud, like, someone on the defensive line.
I'll give you two.
Go for him.
Jordan Elliott. So...
Oh, was that the big
one?
The QB sneak? Where
no, multiple. Not even the QB sneak. The QB sneak was just they didn't bring him to the ground. Right? They got everything right.
No. You're talking about the first QB sneak where he there was no one to the right because Elliott got cleared
out. I'm talking about the first ETN run.
Yeah.
Where they just ran duo right at 92. And it's like the Red Sea's parted. Here goes ETN. He's like, this is going to be the best day of my life. And they didn't stop running duo right at Elliott again and again and again. And he did nothing to stop them. And then when they took him out of the game, they put in Collins. They're like, duo, 95.
Jefferson was decent.
Jefferson actually gave them good reps. I would like to see more Jefferson because that tape now will be seen by everybody, including the Rams, who love to do that nonsense. And they're just going to run duo at the weak link and say, stop it. Stop it. And they won't. They won't stop it because their defensive tackles are gap shooters, and gap shooters don't hold it. And Collins at least has the potential to, but he's young.
The defensive line as a whole did not. I mean, literally zero quarterback hits.
Right.
I don't know. Did they pressure him twice?
They had to have pressured him a couple of times because the term pressure is so loose. Did he once fear for his life?
I don't think so. And
were no sacks.
I talked to Huff after the game, and he did point, like, I'm coming in, this is a team that gets the ball out quick. Like, sixth fastest. Totally fair. That said, you could feel the lack of Nick Bosa. Like, there was just – it felt very stagnant. It felt like Saleh couldn't mix it up as much because they had to just account for the fact that they were allowing some major chunk plays. And they were stopping the run on some key downs, and then you would allow a huge chunk. And it was like – there's just no consistency to it. It was, like, hard to find the flow. And that's understandable because you're, like, you built this defensive line around Nick Bosa, and you've got – it's like, what are you supposed to do when the core of something is gone? And you're like, all right, what is this? What is the rest of this?
Well,
we'll find out.
I mean, we kind of expected that there were going to be issues with getting to the quarterback. Like, that goes kind of without saying. By the way, down there, they were on their backup right tackle. So they, they lost two offensive linemen in this game. Didn't matter.
And McCarrie. Is he the center? He's a center. Or the right guard. Center or the right guard. No, Hainsey's a center.
Dudes were going down.
Yeah, correct.
On the Jags. I mean, and they were going down fast and early. Yes. And they stayed out. And it didn't matter. So I think everyone would have expected that there was going to be some serious regression in terms of pressures. We saw that last week against Arizona. But this is why we said that the pressure was on Bob. Because it's like, you also saw all of these leaks in the secondary last week. And now you don't have Renardo Green, who was the source of some of those leaks, to be fair, but is unquestionably better than Daryl Luter.
And also some of that stuff is like man matching and assignments not getting
A little too wonky.
But he definitely has had some pretty bad moments here.
Well, legend. Like, I'm just saying that, like, in the secondary needed bolstering, right?
Luter just doesn't add anything. He's just playing like 5 yards off and like allowing.
How long has Luter been on this team? Four years.
Where they kept talking him up, and then you're like, all right, well, we've never seen him play. And then you're like,
we're in a whole different world defensively than 4 years ago. 4 years ago, they were still holding on to this idea of like Robert Saleh is still our defensive coordinator.
Right.
And we're just going to run cover 3, cover 4, and we're just going to be a zone team that gets home with four. Well, this game was certainly not that. It never was going to be that because you don't have Nick Bosa. No. But, like, it's also just inherently not the 49ers' defensive identity, which is now to be a more nebulous, bespoke game plan, what you need is what you get sort of defense. And Daryl Luter's like, what if I just keep backing up? He's always within 2 yards of the play, Jake.
Yeah, it's always tackle them pretty quickly after it, but after they've allowed the first. It just – there was, like, a lack of anything you could hold on to with the defense – where you're like, all right, well, someone's going to make a play. And Fred Warner had a couple where you're like, almost had him, dropped them both. And you could see it like this tearing at his soul.
Yeah.
If you get those, like maybe one of those changes, right? Maybe that's all it takes, or the stout one. It's just like, it's a game that's going to haunt them in terms of like having four turnovers and like almost winning.
Totally.
Just playing absolute dog shit football. Because against the Jaguars are not like actually a good team.
Jaguars coming across the country and lost their last 5 games in San
Francisco. Also allowing that like a punt return touchdown. You win with that.
They had no viable reason. Any other team, given the circumstances at hand, puts 50 on the board against the Niners today. And Trevor Lawrence is like, nah, that ain't us.
It's a rare game that's a feel-bad game for both teams. And maybe if you're a Jaguars fan, you don't care.
Jaguars fans, there is no depths of feel-bad that you could possibly throw on Jaguars fans.
Yeah.
Whereas with Niners, again, like our threshold of feel-bad.
I was sitting next to someone who covered the Jaguars. He's like, hey. Oh, that was a good call.
Yeah.
I was like,
they know what's up.
He did it for Niners
fans. Again, the standard is so high that mediocrity feels like death.
Yeah.
And for Jaguars fans, mediocrity feels like a revelation. I mean, they went to an AFC championship game with Blake Bortles, and like it turned into like they're still talking about it. Like, remember
bring him back.
I mean,
bring him back.
one last thing on Looter. Okay. It would. No, I just want to be clear about this.
Yeah.
So one of the nuances that at least I've seen, correct me if you think I'm wrong, is that Renardo Green has effectively been CB1, even though D'Amador Lenore, who's playing very well,
right,
is talking, you know, is paid like a CB1, is right, talked like a CB1. He's that. But schematically, they really do put they really don't put Lenore on the island.
No, you're right.
They put Green one-on-one, and that was particularly the case against Cardinals.
Totally. Last week, a lot of the Cover 7 stuff where it's, again, it's like a shell of, like, quarters, and on one side, you're running quarter-quarter, which is like you're both playing deep, and Lenore's doing that. And then it's Green's job, depending on the route concept, to pick up a crosser, and that's what he was doing. So, which is more of like a CB1 responsibility. I don't necessarily know if they're viewing it that way, but the responsibilities that he was tasked with, it felt like a little bit more.
And I think if you and I are both big fans of Renardo Green and think that he has all-pro potential, that's not been the case so far this season. He didn't play today. All that said, they thought he was going to play up until Thursday whenever he got his neck injured. Misses Friday's practice.
He had
a limited on Thursday, which indicates that he got injured in practice. Friday, he doesn't practice. He's out for the game.
I think he injured that neck before, though.
Okay. Well, anyway, regardless, whatever. The game plan was it, and it was set.
Right.
And it does speak to something that they've put Lenore in a situation where his gambling and his aggression isn't so aggressive for the defense on the whole. It's used as an asset, and it can't be used as the detriment.
Right.
It's the Bland versus Diggs argument for the Cowboys secondary, right? Like, you need to have somebody who's steady Eddie, and then the other guy can gamble. That was supposed to be Renardo Green, and then on the other side, it's Lenore, who's always on the strong side, it seems. All that said, when you have the game plan and you're expecting Renardo Green, and you have this bespoke game plan week in and week out for what Jacksonville wants to do, you can't just flip it and say, D'Amador, I mean, you can, but they chose not to. They can't just say, D'Amador Lenore, you now are the number one. You're going to be trailing. You're going to do all that stuff. Actually, we'll just put it on Looter. And that, I don't think, was the particular weak link that ruined the 49ers defense today. But I do think it put them behind the eight ball, because now you are going to be naturally less aggressive as the game goes on, because you don't trust that secondary. How could you? You don't have the secondary that you thought you had coming into this week. And you don't have the talent back there. So now it's like, when you really want to bring blitzes and stuff, you're just a little bit more cagey about it, is my thought.
I think it's a good thought. Again, I don't know if that's how they're viewing that. I think
also, they stole the signs.
So. Right. Yeah. I know. But you did see some of those checks where it's aggressive check. And then you saw
we talked about that on the tape,
and then you'd see like a reverse check, like Fred going, all right, they're checking. We know what they're checking.
You also saw two delay of games off of checks.
They almost had three or four.
Yeah.
They had at least, I think they had two delay of games.
Yeah.
One that was a false start that would have been a delay game.
Yeah.
And one timeout on what was almost a back-to-back.
They're – and a team that coming into this game had led the NFL in, like, movement penalties.
Yeah, and they had a couple in this game. They're incredibly undisciplined football from both teams.
It's not a smart operation.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those games where you just sit there and I described it. Go subscribe to the Hutch Report, but column is free as always. Columns are always free.
Words are free.
But the way I described it is like
charts are going to cost you.
Charts will cost you.
Sorry.
Offensive defensive line will be interesting this week. But I described it as like it was one of these weird days in Santa Clara in the South Bay where you come in and it's cloudy, but it's really bright. And so you kind of feel like you don't need sunglasses and you're sort of just doing a squint all day. And then you kind of have a headache because you're just sort of squinting and staring at the sun. But that's like sort of the facial expression that this game made you feel.
Yeah.
Shout out Benali.
Shout out Benali. Happy to have you.
But yeah, it was like a headache, like painful, like, you know, when you're sitting and you're like, I need an Excedrin more than anything in the world.
It's just a weird half distance glare. The lighting's all wrong.
Yeah. And you're
so bad. And this is not a complaint. This is merely just an observation. So the sun did come out a little bit today. The Jaguar center had like three towels shoved up his butt. so it was clearly hot. Yeah. And they had the little
Oh, yeah, they brought out poles in the second half.
Yeah.
They weren't out at the start of the game.
So I was going to clown the Niners for wearing white at home again. But, you know, they were right.
David Lombardi told me in the elevator it's going to burn off, and it did.
David Lombardi.
No one knows.
Local meteorologist David Lombardi.
Genuinely, no one knows.
Good call. Good call, David Lombardi.
Right.
So, but in that, like, it was, this is the kind of game that, frankly, the Jaguars gave you enough to where if you had just gotten out of the way and just not fucked up for 60 minutes.
Like three or four times?
They would have given it to you.
They wanted to give you the game.
And the 49ers are like, no. We insist.
Right.
Please. Let's talk about the strip sack. I mean, we already mentioned it. Okay. Pooney gets wrecked off the jump. And Armstead gets past Brendel.
Yeah.
Indicative of, you know, the most extreme version, but kind of indicative of the entire game. Yeah.
He just can't move. And it's
Colton McKivitz might be asking for a new contract.
He just got one.
I know, but his value just keeps going up.
It's listen, like Trent again is allowing some pressures. It's again, he's getting their like number one guy and he's not what he was. I will stand by the fact that when you end up watching the tape, and it's tough because O-line play is like based off of where you fucked up, right? You don't really get rewarded for doing well 95% of the time if you have two really bad fuck-ups.
What's the Joe Thomas line?
Oh, yeah.
They want us to be mushrooms. They put us in a closet. They never look at us. They don't give us any light. They feed us shit. Yeah. And then they expect us to bloom into something delicious and tasty at the end of the week.
And it's tough.
But when everyone's injured, I mean, Trent's injured. Colby's injured. Brendel hasn't worked off his scar tissue yet.
Brendel's knees are always hurting at like a base level.
Oh boy, it'd be rickety. And then I think we just got locked in, Jake. Regardless, we'll jump out. Pooney's. If they had a viable backup, even a semi-viable backup, they'd be playing him right now. He injured the PCL on the special teams play against the Raiders in the preseason. He re-aggravated it in week one, and it just keeps getting worse. He has no pop when he moves at all. He's not getting out of his stance fast. He looks hobbled.
If I was them, and this is not even a knock on Pooney, I would like consider putting Drew Moss out there for one, find out what Drew Moss is, also expecting to lose anyway.
Yeah.
And two, buying 2 weeks to say, all right, maybe Pooney can get right, not playing for 2 weeks.
I mean, the other
I don't think they'll do that.
Yeah, the other aspect of this that I think we constantly gloss over, and I'm speaking just on you and me, is like with every game there is a level of attrition, right? Inherently, we know that part. But I don't think we take it into full calculation when we talk about injuries, where it's like, okay, you started the season at 100%. Now, a lot of Niners players didn't.
No one starts at 100%.
Well, okay, to whatever degree, that's as players talk about this all the time. That's as good as you're going to feel before the first game, because maybe you got that callus. Maybe you do feel like, okay, I know what it feels like. You know, I don't have the mental restrictions, right? Because I've been playing football, but like I'm free. My body feels good. Let's go do this thing. And then every week it just takes another 5 to 10% off.
It feels like they got kneecapped early. Like they took a bunch of injuries with like the Trent and Pooney injuries early, just set your offensive line back.
Right.
And when you have Kittle, which is, I'm not sure we've talked quite enough about the fact that like Kittle not being out there is just fucking them in the
That's a credit to Jake Tonjes.
He's trying, man.
Because
it's
obvious when Tonjes doesn't do well.
Yeah.
If Tonjes doesn't play well, they stand no chance. They were playing Braden Willis, and they're like, I do not care what you need to put.
Purdy, by the way, missed a clear touchdown to Willis where he just looked off, and Willis came wide open. Granted, he's like not expecting that, but like it was literally –
there's no fucking way Braden Willis is open.
He was looking, and like a quarter of a second before Willis started breaking open, like he looked off of it. So it happens, but like Willis was wide open in the back of the end.
Here's my takeaway on Purdy today. He looked like Trevor Lawrence.
He looked like he didn't trust it. He looked like he was turning down things he would normally rip.
And it looked like he didn't.
And when he scrambled,
speed of the game was fast.
When he scrambled, he was not.
No, and he claimed, I mean, I can pull the exact quote where he's like, no, my toe doesn't hurt. I felt good. Want to help the team win.
Of course it did. I mean, it's okay to say it hurt.
It's okay, but like he's not going to give anyone. Okay, so here you go. How did you feel physically? I felt good. I thought I was able to go out and play quarterback and give our team a chance, which is just a ringing endorsement of his toe.
Right.
And then the follow-up was, it didn't bother you? No. I don't know the intonation of the word no on this transcript, yeah. But I'm sure that it bothered him. You could see it bothering him. At the same time,
I stubbed my toe the other day. It's still bothering me.
At the same time, it did feel like it was a speed of the game thing,
too. Yep.
It looked like a guy who hadn't played football in a couple weeks.
It did.
And didn't really play football this week.
And I am curious, like, if Mac was fully healthy, like, whether they would have tried to buy another week. I think they probably would have gone with Purdy regardless.
But if Mac was fully healthy?
Yeah.
No, I think they would have run it back. I think they would have run it back with Mac. Because neither of them are healthy. Right? Like, true. And again, now, so this is what I'm talking about with the attrition thing. Okay, so Brock comes back, and it's ridiculous to put numbers on this. It's almost a binary scenario, but let's just call it he's back, and he's 75% of the Brock Purdy that he was. Well, now he's 70 because he just played an NFL game, and he's got to play another one on Thursday. Like, that's not good enough. Brock Purdy was a guy who people would debate, I think disingenuously, when he was 100%, the best version of Brock Purdy, 2023 Brock Purdy. They're like, I don't know if he's that good.
Right.
And there's, you know, we can.
And his size lends himself to it.
Right. He doesn't. This is like Juwan Jennings being injured. He doesn't have a lot of steps to give here. Like, he's already operating somewhat on the precipice and having to get by with anticipation and smarts.
By the way,
and being faster.
As an aside, there was a moment where Pearsall was in the blue medical tent. And so Juwan, who got speared on that 2-point conversion, and I wouldn't be shocked if it was like a cracked rib.
He's bleeding inside.
He was in so much pain. He literally was, they didn't have room in the tent because Pearsall was in there. So Juwan's on the ground, like pointing to his rib, just like, I can't imagine how bad that hurts. And I saw him in the locker room, just like sitting there in a chair. Like, I can't imagine the pain he's in with, what is it? Is it a knee?
It's every part of his
body. It's a shoulder.
Do you know, like, do you know on NCAA football
where
they show all the injuries?
And
it's like, just the whole thing is red.
What a gamer he is.
Got to appreciate
that. But my God, give that man a break.
It's, he doesn't get one because Ricky Pearsall's knee's a little bulky. And I'm not going to say that Ricky's, you know, not toughing out this and that. Like, his knee's bulky. So does he want to run on that and risk major injury? At least
if I'm them, I would say DeMarcus Robinson is back. We're not even going to try Pearsall in this game.
Did you find it interesting? Because I did, that they preferred Kendrick Bourne to DeMarcus Robinson to start this game.
Yeah, I thought it was what didn't shock me a ton, but it makes me think of, like, so he, like, really hasn't been able to practice with the team at all. So there's, like, an element of that where it's just, like,
you catching passes from Adrian Martinez this week doesn't get you ready for an NFL game?
There's a difference of, like, you need time to get that going. Until it's Thursday and you say, DeMarcus Robinson, you're wide receiver one, go get him. Also, another guy who took – Sky Moore got rocked in this game on these returns. They – listen, we gave Brant Boyer, like, benefit of the doubt. They still suck at special teams.
I don't think Sky Moore sucks, though. I think he's pretty good at it.
I think he's trying his best.
I think they got a good long snapper.
Okay.
I think they have a
good kicker.
Nothing's
blocked for him on special teams.
Eddie Pinheiro had, like, a sweet pin. I don't know what – was it LaQuint Allen or was it
– LaQuint Allen, who, like, caught it.
What are you doing, bud?
Out at, like, the 7.
Rookies. Can't do it. Can't do it with them. Good thing the Niners don't have 5 of them on their defense.
That's the other thing.
Thomas Morstead can be your backup running back.
If you're going to be optimistic, you got, like, Kittle and Mustafa coming back. You know, you get time for people to, like, theoretically get healthy. The negative side is your team's filled with rookies.
Yep.
Who are going to have ups and downs. Rookies get injured at a higher rate. You also can't afford, like, any more injuries whatsoever.
What does this sound like, Jake? Does it sound like the 2024 San Francisco 49ers? Just a little smidge. Do you have any other studs?
Studs? I actually don't have any other studs.
Let me think. Who was a stud? We talked B-Rod.
I tried to look at the defense, and I was like, Siegel had a couple nice plays.
I thought Lenore had a nice game. Here's a question I have about Lenore, and it's probably galaxy brain. Okay.
Warner almost had a really sick game, got beat a couple times.
He didn't look right at the end of the first half, for what it's worth.
Well, there's a couple times a game.
And
that happens when the defensive line isn't shielding him and doing its job and he's getting attacked.
Again, it just sounds like a team that sounds like the 2449ers. I know.
It's going to be real interesting
So here's my question. If Renardo Green comes back for Thursday, would it be advantageous? They're going to keep doing this shit with Stout. okay?
Yeah.
And Stout gets some flash moments.
Davante Adams.
Yeah, where you think, hey, this kid's got it, right? He has the temperament. He has the fight. He's just not very good yet. And he might never be good, but at least he's got it between the ears.
He's trying, man.
He's trying so hard. He wants it bad.
He wants it too bad is the problem.
I don't know if he wants it. I can't determine.
He does want it a little too bad. It's too handsy. It's too eager. But
and all of his good plays feel like, oh, boy.
Right.
And then, you know, it's like a situation where he had an unbelievable run.
You don't want to quit him ever.
No, you can't. You can't. You can't. You can't break his spirit by benching him. You have to just see this through for the rest of the year.
Plus, whatever happens, happens in this fucking year.
But my thought, and that's, I mean, that I think more Niners fans now kind of understand what we've been saying about that for the last couple of weeks. Like, the results do matter, but not really. So the Galaxy brain thought is you're going to have Puka in the slot and Davante Adams out wide. Okay, Davante Adams is their man beater. Puka is their zone beater. They're about as good as it gets in both of those responsibilities.
Well, that's where they can do some cover seven, cover six, where like...
How about you just put Lenore back in the slot for a week?
I like where your head's at. Or you just follow Nacua around?
Hey, DeAndre, you're our number one corner. Here's Puka Nacua. He's pretty good.
But I do think...
Follow him.
I do think cover seven allows you to do zone and man simultaneously. So there's... If you're going...
Or neither.
I know. Or just fail in both facets. So
I'm fascinated to see the coverage tape in this game. I spent most of the game watching the lines.
It's tough. I forget, like, in live, you actually don't see shit. Like, it's actually harder being here to, like, pick up on
with,
certain
with
stuff.
With 22 people moving around very fast.
Yes.
Yeah, it's pretty hard.
Yeah, you're like, replay that.
Yeah.
I missed it.
Yeah. And by the way, just a quick aside. The TVs here, they used to be on, like, an... It wasn't
such a long delay, dude.
It wasn't on... It used to be, like, the play would happen. One, two... Look up.
It's like a minute and a half now.
They're three plays behind.
You're like,
it's useless to me. I'd rather have red zone on. Put the stats.
It's
up.
Brutal.
It's bad. It's bad. And I blame the best media crew in the NFL for that, or DirecTV.
I'm not sure. Anyone else you want to mention before we get to some comments?
Well, okay. I'll make an overarching. I mean, it does feel as if the air has come out of this team's balloon a little bit.
Yep.
And I just don't necessarily see it as terribly different from the previous games. Bosa of it all might have been the differentiating point.
But more so than even won this without Bosa. By the way, 6-13 without Bosa, this team is.
That makes a lot of sense.
Not a shocker.
Great. 6-13, that seems like too few games. He's missed more than that, hasn't he?
No.
He's missed a full
game. Because it was 2020.
Right.
And then it was one game in 2021, I think. And then a few games last year.
What did you think of Mikel today?
I didn't notice him that much.
Yeah, I didn't. I watched the line straight up, and it was like, oh, this isn't as fun when Nick Bosa isn't automatically
I didn't notice him that much. He certainly didn't have a stud game. I didn't notice him fucking up.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't really ever...
He doesn't fuck up. He doesn't fuck up
that much. I did get to talk to him, which was nice.
He's kind of a boring cat.
He is kind of boring, but it's also
no problem with that. He's a great football player.
Great in football theory. Player.
In theory. Well, relative
at least
to
in the run game.
And even today, that didn't seem all that useful. Devin Lloyd had two interceptions. Good linebacker.
He flies.
He's a good linebacker.
He flies.
There's some dudes. I mean, again, it feels...
The Jags get turnovers. It's not to say that they're like an outstanding defense, but they force turnovers, and the 49ers have not. But what about all their meetings about the go get the fucking ball? You know?
Well, I mean, Devin Lloyd, they did ask, like, Devin Lloyd, like, why do you think you guys get turnovers? Like, we practice it. And I'm like, I don't think that's it.
Right. Fred Warner does punch 17 forced fumbles, I think, most in Niners.
Forced another one today.
They should practice recovering fumbles on
both
sides
practice,
of the ball.
I think both sides of the ball should practice catching it.
Oh, I agree.
Just a concept. Seven open drops.
I think they should have
the offense today.
I think they should have no practice. I think they should spend the entirety of their 2 days. They should have one practice. It should be everyone go to the jugs machine.
Yep.
Everyone catch some balls. And then on a flat surface, you know. I used to have one of those skills thing where it was like a little ball, a rubber ball that you'd bounce and it would bounce in weird ways.
I just found mine today.
Do one of those. Everyone do one of those and go get fumbles.
Yeah, go be a shortstop. Be a hockey goalie.
Because you're only going to win on Thursday by like getting random loose balls.
I guess the other perk is, so I think right now, And I think that a lot of, especially, you know, our great members before this game were like, oh, fuck, they're going to get racked by the Rams.
Yeah.
Who are not a world. They're not a juggernaut. They the have Rams, some awesome players, and they're doing some good stuff. They're secondary susceptible. The perk that I would say, and I just want to put this into the universe so everyone feels a little bit better tonight, which I can't believe I'm the one doing this. But Thursday Night Football is inherently stupid.
Yeah, and this team wins stupid games.
Like, this feels like Brock Purdy masterclass. Like, Matt Stafford doesn't do stupid. Matt Stafford does structured.
Did Jake Todgers for 75 yards on Thursday?
Well, yeah. This passing situation.
Sky Moore return touchdown?
Sky Moore might get catches on Thursday.
I don't know if I'm going to have a prediction for Thursday.
I don't know if we'll have time, but I will make them. This game felt weird to give a prediction on because we saw it going both ways. And I think the place that I came to, and this proved to be fundamentally wrong, could not have been more wrong, was, oh, I think this is going to come down to the final drive or two, and I'll trust Brock Purdy to get the job done over Trevor Lawrence. Now, Trevor Lawrence didn't get the job done, though I guess you could maybe argue he did on that final drive when he slid out of bounds.
He didn't get the job done.
Okay, sorry. I just wanted to remind you that he slid out of bounds when he needed the clock to run.
Yeah, but he didn't throw the game away, which was a prediction, and he almost did. I mean,
he wanted to so fucking bad.
Yeah, he really did.
So, okay, even on the best interpretation of Trevor Lawrence's performance, you're still like, I don't know about that one. Whereas Brock Purdy, it was the most unambiguous fuck-up known to man. And I know all of his teammates are backing him. He was sick to himself in the locker room. He was despondent.
Yeah.
I get it. He played like crap. That wasn't what he plays like.
Yeah.
And it has to be a bit of a crisis.
And again, a lot of that's on like the O-line collapsing around.
O-line has sucked in front of him often.
Right. And there was just a lot out there that, and it's funny because I think the plays that he'll get like ripped for, honestly, like there were some other ones where it was like a throw when he could have ripped it to somebody else.
Yeah.
And like Kendrick Bourne dropping that ball. And you're like, what does this game look like? What's the narrative around him if Kendrick Bourne makes that catch and there's not a return touchdown the next play?
Yeah. You know? There's so many. I mean, it's the third quarter, too. They had a chance to win this game in the fourth quarter. We can, you know, reverse engineer it and all these things.
Yeah.
If we want to do that, there's also like half dozen at minimum throws that Purdy just does not make for whatever reason. Offensive line sucks. Airmailing this thing. And he's trying to get it all the way to my house in Alameda with some of these throws on their height.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't see it, which
and that's the thing. It's like a little like Kyler, short quarterback. Like there has to be more arc on it. So the balls and that's why the thing with Brock is
you have to be ahead of it mentally.
I think we'll get to some questions like about the contract and all that. It's like he has to be delivering with anticipation. And if he's not trusting things, and if his body doesn't feel right, then that timing and anticipation comes off. And so he doesn't feel like he can rip it. That's where you start to sweat. I have a lot of faith in how Brock Purdy plays football. I have less faith in his body holding up over time and the attrition of that injury and the other ones limiting his great talent, which is anticipation.
All right, Benali became a member. We actually asked about that. Is Benali a member?
Yeah.
Because she's such a great commenter. We love it that you're in with us. Love that you're here with us on the Sunday show. They played the same game they've played for the last 3 weeks. They just lost this time. This is why I never trusted that 3-0 start. There's a lot of validity to that.
That was my last point. Is the playoffs like absolutely in play, but
they're
rapidly on track to regress to the mean.
And it can swing back the other way. If Brock looks like Brock,
right,
in even week one, now you're in a completely different scenario. But I hate this about the NBA, where when they like promote the game, they're like, it's Steph versus LeBron and like these other eight guys on the floor. It's like, go fuck yourself. No one cares.
You're like, what about David West?
Yeah, head coaches. Who cares? Doesn't matter. Steph versus LeBron. Just play them one-on-one. The NFL, with the way that rosters are typically structured now, and the Niners have certainly embraced this structure, has decided that it's basically quarterback versus quarterback. In this, the most coach-heavy, most coach-dependent league in all of North American, I would argue, the entirety of professional sports. So, yes, they got away with a couple, right? They got away with one in Seattle with the Jake Tonjes catch. Still don't understand it, though we understand it a little more every day.
He's awesome.
He's the best. I mean, who needs George Kittle? And then
they do.
Yeah, they need him so bad. They definitely got away with one in New Orleans. right? Yep. Because you're going Spencer Rattler and just whatever that was.
What are they? Who knows?
They got away with one against the Cardinals because of Kyler, full stop. And then this week they just didn't get away with it, but they were in it, right? Yep. They could have gotten away with it. Those Duke boys could have done it again. So this is the first week where they're going to play an opponent. Week one is such a weird, nebulous thing. No one knows what anything is in week one. Yep. You're all figuring it out. The Seattle Seahawks are a very worthy adversary.
Totally.
Cardinals and the Saints weren't, okay?
Yep.
They had things that could give the Niners problems, but they weren't worthy adversaries to a team that...
Not even... The Jaguars aren't really a worthy.
And I don't think the Jaguars were either, even though they all have the
By
same
the way,
record.
Just as a side, I refer to them as the dumpster diving steal wins from the Trash Boys.
There we go.
That's their general
role. Garbage fail kids.
Yes. Just the garbage boys.
The garbage boys. Dumpster Dans. So the Rams are unquestionably a worthy adversary.
For sure.
Now they do get them on a Thursday. Thursday Night Football has never looked once good.
Who knows what that looks like?
They should probably bring out the Color Rush jerseys for this one.
They should stop having Thursday Night Football.
I disagree. I love it. I'm not... As someone who...
Okay, let me click. They should stop adding more Thursday Night Football games to the slate because they're doing, I feel like, more and more.
They have one a week.
Maybe that's not true, and maybe I'm just making that up.
They are adding more games in weirder times.
Yeah, can they, like, the amount of, like, Monday night, like, early Sunday morning, can we just have the basic windows back again? This is my most old.
Wow. Wow. This guy's trying to sell Sunday ticket subscriptions. Meanwhile, we're all out here loving the island life with these island games. I want a Friday night game every week.
I do, too.
Okay.
So I would take a Friday night game.
Over a Thursday or with in conjunction?
I would take it over a Thursday night game.
I do believe that the Broadcasting Rights Act of 1961 limits Friday night games.
Correct.
That has neither
correct.
That's neither here nor there. But we'll get into the Broadcast Rights Act of 1961 in a later show.
Yeah, that'll be members only.
Yeah. Oh, that's
we should rip through some comments here.
Absolutely. Okay. I'm going to. I apologize here to Chaz. No.
I was not a fan of Jackson Powers Johnson.
If you got cut by the Raiders shit-ass offensive line, you're not good enough for this one. If you're not good enough to play for the Raiders, I can assure you there is no place for you at the San Francisco 49ers.
I told Peter, I was like, man, I was way too high on the Raiders this year.
At least you didn't pick the Titans.
Well, it's also, I believe it's Chip Kelly's son is the O-line coach. And that's
No. It's Pete Carroll's, one of his two sons on the coaching staff.
That's not going well for their O-line.
How did that work for Belichick in New England? Did it go good?
Not great.
No.
Not great.
How are the Tar Heels doing?
Not great, but Jackson Powers Johnson, some people liked him. I was not a huge fan. Also, Kyle Shanahan, Chris Furster. Yes, Chris Furster. Very particular about what they want in centers, and if you either know it or you don't, and you have a lot of responsibility on your shoulders, they're not going to add somebody ever midseason at center unless they have to.
No, they have three backups, by the way, in Moss, who they've wanted to convert.
The Nuge on the practice squad.
The Nuge on the practice squad. Anza Kelch and Matt fucking Hennessy. So they have four.
Yeah.
So, no, if Brendel goes down, they have in-house
And to be fair, Brendel's been whatever, which is kind of what you want.
Good thought here from Nevin. Neck injury is from the Cards game. It was just under the radar because he practiced Wednesday and Thursday.
Yeah, check Dieter. Check Dieter when you get the chance.
I'm wrong. Like, what do you want me to tell you?
Check his ass like Liam Cohen.
Keep your name out of my mouth.
That was actually Dieter down there. Him and Liam Cohen are... kind of have a similar swag going
on. Dorky white dude trying to assimilate with the cool kids.
Right.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Right.
Mash Day.
Walking 15 feet away, walking backwards. That, come at me, bro.
I'll say this. That's not, no. 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 I'll do it in person.
I just love that you're going, come at me while you're walking.
Come at me. Correct. I'm moving.
Catch me.
You will never get me. That's some toddler energy. Worst part of the loss is hearing Jags fans. What Jags fans?
Ooh,
I know, like, but like legitimately, like, yeah, all 12 of them are on fire now. That's the other, like, we're not getting any bumps. We're doing these awesome breakdowns of these other teams. And so now we get to go Saints, where the entire fan base has checked the fuck out.
100%.
The Cardinals, who, like, every game's a
everyone
game.
In Arizona is just trying not to die from the desert.
140 degrees.
Everyone's sunburnt and content.
They kept cutting to fans on Thursday Night Football. It was so good. Though I will say, yeah. I have an umbrage with the director of the...
I'm sure you do.
of the Texans-Titans game, where it's like, how can you not just keep the camera on Callahan it's the awesome. Entire Brian time Callahan and go picture in picture down with the game?
Like, where he like, doesn't have a headset on. He's like...
They Sirianni'd him. Yeah. They took his headset. Okay. JR's in. This game is a microcosm of by 26 is the year to have everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And yeah, I cannot wait for the end of season press conference where
fools.
They will have like barely made the playoffs or just missed
the last game. The Buccaneers run them off the table in the first round.
We're really proud of what we built. We saw a lot of progress. This was always a plan for 2026. Yeah. This was always going to be a transition year for us.
When are we getting Kittle back? Kittle will be back after the Rams game.
Theoretically.
So he'll be in Tampa.
Theoretically.
I think that there's optimism.
I think that's what the plan is. Thanks, Vice.
Thank you, Vice. Appreciate
that. I think that's the plan. And good Lord, do they need him?
Yeah.
That'll be a fun game because both of those teams like to play weird football, but like kind of have explosive plays in the fourth quarter and just you're like, are they going to mount another stupid comeback?
They're both teams that are just in the weird middle.
Chaos agents with pure like, chaos agents
with like good coaching on their sides of the ball and like enough quality players that you can get away with it.
Yeah.
The other aspect of it is the 49ers better run the ball against the Rams, which is easier said than done because they're not running that fucking ball against.
I mean, that's what Trent said too, is like, I asked him, I was like, what's going on here? What's the deal, man?
And he's what's like, what's the deal with running the ball?
Not bad.
Thank you.
Not the worst. Not great. Not terrible.
I'm in a car. I have coffee.
We need to leave.
Thank you.
But like he's like, yeah. I mean, when they're throwing 8-man boxes at you, which it's funny because like teams won't do that, and like the Jaguars will have like the highest like light box percentage.
Yeah, the Jaguars 3% of the snaps,
and then they're just like, let's go 8-man box against the Niners.
Yeah,
and then you have to throw it, which is a good game plan.
Is this the equivalent of man press coverage from last year?
It's not the equivalent.
Kyle just keeps running the same shit, hoping it works.
But I mean, you do have to like keep trying to run the ball. It's tough when your personnel can't execute, and so you're like, "Well, we have to run the football," but it physically it doesn't work, and we don't have the dudes. I don't know what this team is. Will we ever know?
No, we'll find out. I mean, there will be definition and finality.
I mean, the problem,
and we might legitimately, I think we'll find out if they're not good before we find out if they are good.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier.
The injury, it's tough. Like, I would like to see this defense with Malik Mustafa in it and whether the offense can run the ball with George Kittle in it. Because if it can't, and again, the run game usually, as I recall it, maybe I'm recalling it wrong, usually takes time to get going. Like, it's like timing, precision. Usually in the second half, it's better than the first half.
One would hope. And for this team, it has been, right? You have the coaching staff that's kind of predicated on the run game.
Yeah.
Like, it gets better. It gets better so long as injuries cooperate. But, like, it's hard to – so one of my bold, wild predictions from the offseason was I thought that the Niners would have, like, a top 10, top 5 offensive line. Yep. Like, that's not going to happen now.
No.
Even if this team figures it out, like, they don't their bodies are broken.
We were, like, optimistic. And it's, like, tough when
– it might even still be a good offensive line relative to others.
It's tough when your left tackle gets a knee injury, your right tackle gets a knee injury, and it's, like, the start of the season, you're, like, okay, you have to play.
Yeah. It's
– it feels like there's a worry that's, I think, pretty reasonable that it's, like, aging Trent rapidly. It's, like, is it the age? Is it the injury? Is it both? And is this mean like 26 with him is a worry? I think anyone his age, you just have to worry about in general. But like 49ers won't have any plan until he says he's done. He will be the plan.
There is no alternative to a Trent Williams. Now, correct. I guess Trent Williams can lower himself enough to where you can.
But can you worry about it? Oh, yeah. You can be stressed.
You should worry about it. But that doesn't mean you can.
You should worry in general about the state of everything.
Well, that's the motto of our
show. Kind of what I do.
Benali, do we think the turnovers are a fixable thing for Brock? I like Brock. I think he deserved that contract, but at the current rate, he's playing like 23 Allen without being Josh Allen.
It's a fair concern.
Interesting poll.
I think part of it, especially.
Josh Allen got a first place MVP vote in 2023. I should note.
Did he?
He was the only other guy to get one.
It's awesome.
Just thought I'd throw that out there.
Fair.
I was shocked by that today.
Yeah, I think. Some people have made a point of like pointing out all the turnovers he had going back to last year. I think one, fair. You don't like, he throws a lot of questionable balls, right?
Yeah.
There's like a boom bust element of like, I'm going to chuck this up here to make something happen. And you kind of need a gunslinger when your offense is stagnant. Mm-hmm. The downside is, and again, last year, they were just so stuck. We talked about it. We covered it. They couldn't beat man coverage without Ricky Pearsall, who didn't come on strong until later in the year. And so they just
and then they didn't even throw to him when he was open.
Correct. They were just having him run clear out routes and he was open. So like they just didn't have the ability to beat man press man coverage. And so Purdy's like trying to make stuff happen. So a lot of those turnovers just came out of pure desperation to like do something in an offense that couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
This game, again, two of them are tipped. Part of that concern is like, well, and one was just a drop.
Yeah,
I came off McCaffrey.
Say it's a tip. I mean, it was McCaffrey tipping it.
Right.
I don't know if it was bobbled.
So it's like that's
it wasn't a good throw, though.
Right. And so it's like you can't like that's not an interception on. It's a little bit on him, but like
it's not. He's not exonerated, but he's not responsible.
It's not a throw into double coverage and getting.
It's second degree interception.
It wasn't one of the 17 throws Joe Flacco threw to the other team that they didn't catch. Today.
Okay, we get on the Joe Flacco.
Crazy.
You didn't have to sit with this guy watching
watch
the Browns game.
The Browns. It's a
don't advise people to do that.
Mess. Don't they play the Browns this year?
No, it wasn't first degree murder. It was like second degree manslaughter. That was that interception.
Do we have a Browns game on the schedule this year?
Yeah, you know we do. And you know they're going to lose it.
Yeah, November 30th.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Wait. Oh, my God. I actually can't wait for that game.
There's a lot of games that I'm excited. Like the Falcons 49ers game. What a contest.
I can't stop watching the Browns.
What a contest that Falcons 49ers game is going to be. Just who can shove their hand further up their butt throughout the entire
contest. I predicted
contest.
That would be like, a bad loss. I do think we'll see. I think if they beat the Bucs, they lose. And then they're
49ers, very contingent. We'll leave it to this finale. Thank you again for becoming a member.
Thank
if you guys all. Wanted to comment on any of this,
yep.
You become a member,
yep.
Get your stuff up on the screen. We love you guys. We love doing these members only. Chess yep. Finale, Jaquaski Tart in the building, and everyone forgets how to catch. Coincidence? I think not. Going back to the scene of the crime on Thursday.
Tough. I won't be there, but Dieter will.
Well, I'm not going.
All right. Read the Hutch Report. Subscribe. Comment. Whatever. Give us a like. Appreciate you, folks. And we have to go home to our family.
Tuesday, Wednesday this week.
Tuesday, Wednesday. Lock in.
And I guess Thursday, too. There's a game.
Oh, yeah. There's a game.
Fun.